Well, good evening, everybody. Thanks for the gift of your time, as always. We will start. Ben, would you like to do the roll call?
Yes, and actually, before diving into that, I just wanted to give a quick reminder to folks. Generally, city policy for committee members to keep their cameras on during committee meetings. So, just wanted to give a quick reminder on that. And I'll dive right in. Barford.
Here.
Barford is here. Carlson.
Here.
Carlson's here. Chincheck Line.
Present.
Chincheck Line is here. Alder Evers. Whoever's not yet present, Glazer.
Present.
Glazer's present. Gonzalez.
Present.
Gonzalez present. Alder Govindarajan. Not present. Groot.
Present.
Groot's present. Heck.
Here.
Heck is present. Iams.
Present.
Iams is present. King. Not present. Luskin. Not present. Matina.
Present.
Matina's present. Ohovitz. Alder Ohovitz. Not present. Perkins. Not present. Fair.
Here.
Fair is present. Alder Revere.
Here.
Revere is here. V Alder Vitiver.
Here.
Bitterbers here. Ward.
Present.
Where is present? Weber.
Here.
Weber is present. Wells. Wells is not present. We do have quorum.
Great. Thank you so much, Ben. First item on our agenda is the approval of the October 23-25 minutes. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Thank you. Is there a second? Matt Fair. Discussion.
I'm sorry, who made the original
Matt
motion?
Fair did. At least he had his hand up, so I'm assuming that was the motion to second.
Oh, I mean the original motion to
Oh, it was
approve.
Janine.
Janine. Okay, got it. Thank you.
Any discussion on the minutes? So not no discussion. Is there any objection to the minutes? Not hearing or seeing any, so the motion passes. Thank you. Next we have disclosures of our agenda items here. If you have any disclosures you want to make regarding this, that'd be great. Sorry. My iPhone's picking up the phone. Sorry about that. And so no disclosures. And then secondly, as a reminder, unless Ben has it on here, the conflict of interest request came out from City Hall. Those should be completed, I think, by January 6th, if you haven't already done so. Legistar 62342, public comment, Ben.
No registrants for items not on the agenda. Only one registrant overall. I might as well mention right now. Aaron Williams, registered to speak for item number 5, representing the UW when we get there.
Great, thank you. Next item is an appointment of the chair and the vice chair. Ben, do you want to give an overview of that, please?
Sure. So we have, under our rules, 3-year terms for the chair and vice chair, this is kind of for the following item as well. Got a refresher from the city attorney on some BCC Board Committee Commission regulations, and he reminded all of us who are staffing these committees that elections should actually appear annually for chair and vice chair. And so this election for chair and vice chair would set us up on joint campus through probably about summer next year, in which case we'd need to hold another election to kind of get on track. So Under this agenda item two, it's appointment of chair and vice chair. And then for number three, just to bring the committee rules in line with ordinance.
So do we take nominations now then, kind of thing again?
Yes, it would be nominations for, I guess, first for chair, and then after that for vice chair after the vote's held.
So I feel awkward running this right now, but I will. Are there any nominations for the chair of the Joint Campus Area Committee? Doug.
I will nominate Mary Chinchek-Line for, and we have to do this separately, Ben, or should I get the vice chair as well?
I think separately might work best. Can do well.
I will nominate Chinchek-Line for chair.
Second.
Thank you. Any other nominations for chair? Robbie, you had your hand up, I saw.
No, just a second.
Okay. One last time, any other nominations for chair? Nominations for chair is closed. I accept the nomination, and I guess the group approves by acclamation unless there's some dissent. Okay, so nominations for chair are done. For the vice chair, and it's unfortunate John's not here. Can we go ahead and nominate him, Ben, if he's not present?
I did sneak in here.
Oh, you did.
The meeting started.
Oh, great. So we're going, we have to elect chair and vice chair again to get us through next summer. I was just reelected as chair, and now we're opening up nominations for the vice chair. Janine.
I'll nominate John Perkins for vice chair.
Are there any other nominations for vice chair?
I'll second.
Okay, we have to go one more time, according to Roberts. Any other nominations for vice chair? Seeing none, John, do you accept nomination?
Yes, I do accept the nomination.
Thank you. So that election's closed too. Are we done, Ben, I think?
If there are no objections, then yeah.
Okay, okay, thank you. are there any?
Well.
Okay. I shouldn't assume. Are there any objections to the nomination of the vice chair? Not seeing or hearing none. John is so anointed. And then we have to deal with Legistar 83985. So the approval of the committee rules.
Yes, and like I mentioned, that red line, which is in the Legistar file, is essentially just updating those rules to reflect city ordinance.
Okay, so we need a motion on this? Do
yes.
we adopt it? Okay, or do we approve? We adopt.
To adopt the,
okay.
the rules as edited.
Thank you. Is there a motion to adopt 839? I got to keep my glasses on. 83985.
Moved.
Thank you, Matt. Is there a second? Thank you, Brian. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, we'll vote on it then. And are there objections to this motion? Are there any abstentions? Not seeing or hearing any, the motion passes. Thank you. And then the next is Legistar 91103. So this was language that was sent to all of us regarding the Joint Campus Area Committee language. This is our amendments. So this would be discussion and potential recommendation to the Common Council. I do have comments, but I want to let other people go first.
And just want to point out that Christy Baumel is here as well this evening to answer.
Great, thank you. So if you have any questions to Christy too, then at this point. Any comments from the committee? Okay, I'm going to dive in. Go ahead.
Well, the one I guess is more of a question is if we could get a brief summary that I believe that we had a change in the boundary of the representation on the committee or types of things that could be brought before the committee that was included in the rules as far as campus boundary versus so many a fraction of a mile outside. If we could get a summary of what that change was, that I think that
So,
would be helpful.
yeah, so there wasn't any, the change was going from 1/4 mile down to, Christy probably knows this better than I do. I'm looking for it. So it's on the third page where there are two maps. And I think the original was 1/4 to, I'm looking.
It's essentially the quarter mile, and instead of the quarter mile, now it would be just a mapped boundary that's included, in
Okay.
the ordinance.
Okay. Does that help, John?
It does. I will say I'm at a loss as to why this is an improvement, given that the boundaries of the campus can change, and if it does, it changes around. Then legislation has to be amended. Depending on what the campus boundaries are. I don't see that as being in this committee's best interest.
Doug.
I believe the maps included with this are the same two maps. They're both listed as map one. Is that correct? I don't see a difference between the two.
I can chime in. Yes, I think that is a typo. I have been all this time looking at the version I sent over for to the ordinance, and now that I'm link clicking the ordinance itself, I'm seeing that the same map was put in twice. If it's, I have the other pulled up, which is the west end of the campus, if that would be helpful to see on a PowerPoint slide. And I think it, I believe it was correctly attached to the courtesy copy I sent in advance. If folks have that, but I'm happy to share it. It was just a small, I
Yeah.
did. I made this little present, this PowerPoint slide, in case there was questions about the difference between them, and all of these red marks were to show what a 1/4 mile distance was versus the shaded area shown here. And of course, so this is the map that you see copied in the ordinance twice. The second map should be this furthest left area. I'm sorry, furthest to the right, bottom right of this map here. So,
Can you blow that up just so we can see the street names?
yes.
Thank you so much.
You see those?
That's
Just
better.
slide over to it.
Robbie, then Janine, and then I'll jump in here somewhere too, please.
Yeah, I guess I was just going to say on this map, I mean, this is only City of Madison. It doesn't show anything in Sherwood Hills. So I don't know if that's important. I don't know if I know this is a, it's a joint committee and this is a city ordinance, but the people in Sherwood Hills might be interested in where their boundary is. I guess that was my only question. I was raising my hand to ask for this map right here, but now that I see it, my only other comment was that the Sherwood Hills part isn't in there.
And Janine.
Sure. So Ben and Christy, correct me if I'm wrong here. So this boundary essentially represents developments outside of the campus boundary that would be brought to the joint campus. We can still request other projects potentially if there's curiosity or concern, but this kind of gives a direction as to what we will hear on this committee of development outside of campus. And then secondarily, I mean, the neighborhood and the city will still hear about what's happening on campus. So it doesn't limit what the neighborhood will hear about what's happening on campus. This is just projects outside of the boundary brought to joint campus, correct?
Correct. When you go to number five of the ordinance related to powers and duties, I don't know, do people want me to keep sharing this? Could I stop sharing this and show the ordinance, or is this helpful to have up?
I think you can take it down now. We
Yes.
all have our.
Okay. The powers and duties section, I can share that. And I can, whoops, maybe zoomed in too far here. So section five, powers and duty, this map is referenced twice. It's referenced here in B and then again in C. So in B, identify, discuss, and summarize community-wide and neighborhood impacts of infrastructure and development projects and the impacts to UW-Madison of other projects, city or village or private development projects, inside the boundary and within this mapped boundary in the map. So essentially, what essentially it says is we're looking at what community-wide impacts there might be of UW projects, and then what private project impacts may be to UW. That is the intent. As I read it, I wonder if maybe some punctuation could be added to make it more clear. Is this the boundary for both the community? Well, never mind. I'm thinking out loud now, but I'm realizing so it's UW master in that in the community and then and the other. The reason we added this proposed language of and impacts to UW Madison from the private development outside of campus was to recognize that private development impacts on neighborhoods are reviewed in other committees. So it wasn't trying to create another layer of process in this geography that doesn't exist in other geographies of the city. So the private development or city development aspect is supposed to be honed on how it interfaces with UW or could impact UW rather than just neighborhood impacts. So that's what that map would refer to there. And then C, summarize City Village, UW Madison, and neighborhood comments concerning current and planned pedestrian networks, bicycle routes, vehicular traffic analysis, parking, transit within the mapped boundary. So essentially, this is just trying to look at those private aspects near campus.
So the Regent Neighborhood Association, I asked for some time to take this to our board, and there was a motion that says to keep the language intact. Motion is to retain the 1/4 mile of the campus boundary for initiated infrastructure and development projects and private sector development projects inside the campus boundary, blah, blah, blah. And the motion was made by Shiva Badar and seconded by Ronnie Hess. Two concerns there were. One is that there's prime land along Old University Avenue that's some of it's pretty run down. Apartments, this would be west of the Great Lakes project, the old 1552 University Avenue, and the ROTC building there on Old University. And then further west still is the Enzyme Institute. So between the Enzyme Institute and, boy, a good chunk of Old University, that's potentially land that can be bought up by the university. Secondly, is the university is in the process of developing the new campus master plan, i.e., framework, and to make these changes without seeing what the campus is going to propose, I think is not good, and that's how my board felt too. So we would like it to keep the 1/4 of the original language. Carol.
Yeah, thanks, Mary. I just wanted to follow up on Robbie's comment about Sherwood Hills and not the boundary, the westward boundary there not being clear. So Christy, does that imply that any development in Shorewood Hills would need to be brought to the committee, or what does that map mean as it is right now?
I can kind of, Christy, you're muted there. I can also speak to this as well, but go ahead.
Well, I wonder if you were going to say what I was going to say. Go ahead, Ben. I know you worked with UW staff on this, so you probably can speak to it in more detail than I can.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the main point is, while this is obviously a joint committee, it's administered by the city, and so we as city staff are not really in a position to require any projects or really even make any requests of projects that might be happening in Shorewood Hills to attend a city committee to give presentations. We do have kind of the agenda, standing agenda item when there are items for village updates to the committee, as well as neighborhood updates to the committee. And so I think that could be utilized going forward if and when there are village related projects that might be of interest to the committee and the UW.
So just so I was driving by the practice fields across from near the Wiseman across from Sherwood Hills on University Bay Drive. And it was clear that the university was out there or hired somebody to take boring samples of the soil for potential whatever. I don't know. I know in the past there's been discussion about development of that land. I would think, I'm not speaking for Sherwood Hills, but I, as a resident of, if I were in Sherwood Hills, would be very concerned when I saw that. How does the university notify Sherwood Hills, and is there any impact on any changes that may impact the residents of Sherwood Hills? Does that make sense? Brenda, you've got your hand up.
Hi, thank you. Sorry that I'm on the road. The only the informal way is that we have through community relations, local government affairs, some communication. I don't want to suggest that that makes, that we might need to think about what other communication needs to happen. I will be happy to continue to learn from Sherwood Hills, but I know that we have at least some, again, initial informal communication, and then we have more conversations with the Sherwood Hills team.
But is that codified anywhere, or is this?
No,
I mean,
right.
this is our chance to tighten things up, I think, too.
Right. And I think it will be great to hear from them,
Okay.
right?
Scott, I'm sorry.
I'm Mary. I just want to make sure it's clear that this doesn't change any of UW-Madison's requirements in relation to what we bring to the JCAC, right? Like, this is the boundary is only related to private development that would occur within Shorewood Hills. So your point about some of the soil work we were doing on Ubay Fields, whatever happens there, those questions would come, those types of things would still come because that's university land there.
So when campus, and I don't want to drag this on, but the whole discussion about the West Side Campus Development Project that kind of went away, if those were private buildings being built on public land or leased public land, that's some of my concern too. There's, they're just, I think we're giving away protections we have now as neighborhoods. And there was a reason that this language was written that way to begin with at the time. And Shiva could not find the original because I think she was involved in some of this.
I think ordinance-wise, if UW would want to move forward with kind of the West Campus stuff that they were discussing, that would require an amendment to the master plan, which is something that would be discussed in this committee and then ultimately approved by City Council. So I think from that perspective, there would definitely still be both committee and community input and review.
Doug, you're muted. Sorry.
Have we left Sherwood Hills topic yet? Because I'm happy to go to the end of the queue if we need to get this Sherwood Hill sorted out first. Oh,
John or Carol? Okay.
okay. 2 cents on two topics, 4 cents total if somebody's taking tolls. First of all, I recall when I was chair, I think we had a couple of projects that came up that might have been just outside of the set boundaries at that time, and I think Ben gave me the discretion of is this worthwhile to include the joint campus as a as an item or not. So I believe that the chair in concert with city staff has the option to maybe pull in not discount anything that's within the boundaries, but maybe pull in something that's slightly outside. So if that discretion exists, maybe that gives a little flexibility. The second item is that I've kind of flip-flopped on this a little bit in both directions, and here's my current thought. First of all, I commended Ben on, I believe Ben took out the crayon and drew this originally, but I commended him. I thought it was a really good boundary. I thought it was all good. And then we had some discussions by email, Mary and John, that a quarter mile might be more appropriate simply because if the campus boundaries change, then that gives the flexibility that this naturally changes with it. But then looking at the peeking ahead to the next presentation from Aaron that's coming up and looking at the last master plan and what the campus, I believe, has planned in the future, those boundaries are not going to change all that much. And therefore, I think with the discretion to bring something in from slightly outside the boundaries, as needed or at the discretion of the chair, maybe the boundaries as proposed are okay simply because they're really not going to change much in the foreseeable future.
Not that I don't trust the university, but quietly they were gobbling up land to build the not CDIS, but yeah, well, the mortgage, the new Levy building. And I don't know how the neighborhoods felt around that. I don't know whose jurisdiction that is. If it's probably too far north for Vilas.
A question on that, would that be outside of the what would be drawn on the line? I don't think that would be. Ditto for the one that's under City of Magic Madison project updates, which would be the North Orchard Randall Court. Those are still within boundaries, even though they're private. The university gobbling up.
Yep. Okay.
But the other one's all private.
Okay. John.
Regarding the boundaries of and how things potentially could change over time, at least looking at the area that is closest to my neighborhood, I think anything that is going to potentially change the university's development plans going forward is probably going to stay within the boundary line, and we won't have something that's kind of screwing up the university's master plan that could eventually cause a boundary change along the south end of the campus. I don't see know that that is necessarily going to be the case down along Lower State Street, Lower Langdon Street, or properties along Campus Drive, Old University. And so for those neighborhoods out there, if the right development went up in the right spot, it could potentially change the university's plans, and they may want to change the boundary of their kind of development zone, maybe change the number of the amount of area that's included in the campus institutional zoning. And then this map would have to be updated when those changes happen. I'm a little concerned that that sort of change is going to lag, whereas leaving it worded the way it is now avoids that. And I can respect the city's attitude that perhaps they're trying to simplify the approval process for new developments coming through, to make it one less committee that developers have to present in front of. But on the other hand, we do have established neighborhoods here that could be affected by these decisions, and I'm concerned that these maps are not going to keep pace, depending on what's being proposed, especially out in the West Campus area.
Thanks,
That's
John.
all.
Janine. Oh, I'm sorry, Janine.
Thank you, Chair. Just adding a little context to the discussion. This is really good discussion, and good questions. The campus framework plan, aka master plan, we're launching the project in the start of the new year, and this group, this committee, will be part of that discussion. You will stay informed. And that process will take a year, plus or minus beyond that. So more information will come before this group. So just adding that context, you will be part of the discussion and it's coming soon. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments? We kind of jumped the portion here of taking a motion to move on this stuff, but I thought it was important to have this open conversation. If there's no other questions, we could have a potential recommendation to the Common Council. And what would that look like?
I guess I do have a question because I think the question that Doug answered, I'm not sure it was answered as far or asked wasn't answered as far as the discretion question about, if there's a project that's just outside the border, does the chair or maybe even the committee as a whole have discretion to say, oh, let's request that that one comes in for discussion. So Ben, maybe that's a question for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's certainly possible. The other thing to kind of mention or reemphasize is that, as marked up and kind of edited with the ordinance, the interaction really is how these projects could or might impact UW operations and not really related to. Getting comments regarding neighborhood concerns and operations. Those are generally gathered through the Plan Commission review process and other boards, committees, and commissions that are operating for the city, which hold public hearings on rezonings or take testimony on conditional uses as part of those review processes that are already going on. So, yes, I think there's some discretion to ask for other projects perhaps outside of this boundary to visit the committee, but I think, we'd want to try to look at or maybe analyze to what extent that request would be related to UW operations.
So maybe I'm being dense here. Why does this boundary have to change? Maybe that's the question.
I mean, I guess from my perspective, just as staff, it doesn't have to change at all. I mean, this is all obviously under discussion, but one of the original reasons for undertaking this discussion here at this committee was part of a larger city process of simplifying committee management. And so it kind of goes a little bit hand in hand with that. It's, somewhat of a baby step to shrink this boundary down, but it does impact how much work we have to do in the planning division to facilitate projects coming to a joint campus area committee. Impact some of the work that I have to do working with some of my colleagues on which projects to include on the city updates that are on agendas. And so that's really, I think, the main reason why this is under discussion as part of that overall kind of overarching citywide effort to simplify committee and commission administration.
Yeah.
I would
I
add
don't
to
know if
that.
Christy has, yeah.
I would add to that as well that it's just as Matt, as Ben said, it doesn't have to change, but we came for a number of discussions, and in the first we proposed whether some changes to the boundary may make sense. We heard a yes. We brought forward a proposal and said it seems fairly logical but needs some work. So there was an agreement that staff would go away and work together to propose a new boundary. They did that. They brought it to this committee for more feedback and comment. Mary, you did mention that concern, but ultimately the discussion ended with this looks like an ordinance ready to introduce, and so it was introduced this way. So that's how we got to this point. It is still the body's you're making this recommendation today. So, but that's how we came to this point, was through that series of discussions.
Thank you, Christy. Matt.
Sure. So my pressing on that question was just to kind of get to, I think, what Doug's spirit was. It just maybe there's compromise, because I tend to think the boundary is a good idea, and tend to think from the city's perspective and from developers' perspective, making it a little bit easier and having one less committee if it's not essential to go through is probably smart for the growth of our city. And as somebody said, this is a joint campus committee, and there are all kinds of other opportunities for neighborhoods to, be involved and advocate for or against or whatever when it comes to a development that's in their neighborhood or adjacent to their neighborhood. So I think this is pretty good as written. I guess I'd support it as written in this proposed
That a
ordinance
motion
change.
then?
Sure, let's. I
Okay.
will move that we approve the proposed ordinance change.
Is there a second?
Second.
Robbie seconds. Patrick, I'm sorry. Your hand is up. I bet just for the
I
sake of.
was just seconding.
Okay, good. Any further discussion? Doug.
I just want to, with all apologies to my other neighborhood liaisons on this, I just want to see Mary and John, it's with some of the flexibility we discussed that the chair may have to bring things in, and the fact that it doesn't look like the boundaries are going to change much. We'll learn more in a year. Are you somewhat moderately comfortable with passing this, or would you, I want to give you the opportunity to speak.
Well, maybe the question is, can this be brought back if the university drastically changes its boundaries and we can amend this or make a recommendation to the council to amend?
Yes, an ordinance can always be amended. And I think if the campus institutional boundary was amended, that would be an absolutely logical time to revisit this.
Okay. Just so we're not like carved in stone here for the next 2 decades or something and have to live with it. Carol.
Yes, thanks, Mary. Sorry to beat this more, but I wasn't quite clear on whether Sherwood Hills will get a boundary. Will there be a boundary that carves off a little piece of Shorewood Hills as a buffer zone, or is will there not be a boundary?
I kind of feel like I'm not the city attorney, but I feel like we as city are not in a position to require any projects that are being proposed in Sherwood Hills to come to a committee that's administered by the city of Madison. And that's not to say that both of you as the Sherwood Hills representatives couldn't request those projects to come to joint campus if you wish to do so. And I'd be happy to put them on the agenda if you have those recommendations. But as far as putting that in the ordinance, would not be super comfortable with that.
Okay, thank you. That's clear.
Any further discussion? Okay, the motion is to pass the language as presented. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Or
Aye.
okay. Any abstentions? Not seeing any. I'm sorry, any noes? Any abstentions? I'm going to abstain. I'm just kind of torn from the direction of what my board gave me versus this. Thanks all. So it passes. And Legistar 90540. And I guess that's Aaron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you hear me? Excellent. And thank you, committee members, for your attention tonight on this matter. Let's see. So this project is actually within the campus boundary, so it doesn't really test that last topic, but it may actually be one way moving forward about village and city coordination in a coordinated manner, because we are having to get this amendment sort of approved by both bodies. So in many regards, I think what this Roger, what this item is about here tonight is really why this committee was set up. It's a multi-jurisdictional boundary that we're going to be talking about in the campus framework plan as well. So I'm going to share my screen. There, I have a couple slides that are different. Well, for context, I suppose. Not that, so that one. Have you seen the map? If you're seeing, okay, thank you. So yeah, there's a couple like four up front here, context slides, just to tell you what we're trying to do here, because what's on the agenda is actually a little more procedural. Ultimately, this is, we're asking for a campus master plan amendment. We're using master plan because it is the 2015 campus master plan, and that's what we're amending. And it's because this project, these 15,000 gross square feet of area on the land and 50,000 plus or minus square feet of actual space was not identified back in 2015 as being something the campus needed or wanted. Things change as they always do. That's why we update this plan every 10 years. But we won't have an approved campus framework plan. We don't feel we will have one soon enough when we need this project to actually begin. So that's why the amendment's coming forth, ultimately hoping for a recommendation this evening to then take to the January 27th, I believe, Common Council, where it would be codified in that regard. So you can see where it is on campus. These are slides I pulled out from a September 24th or September 24 presentation that was given to this body. But essentially, tonight we're not talking about the architecture that's coming next month to the body, but we're really talking about sort of the master plan framework or tools that allow us to actually do this project. So that's what's before you tonight. These are just some images of the area in question. This will be the project. This is not what it looks like. This is back again from September 2024, but this is the area for the amendment. So this is a unique project in the sense that it's split pretty much 50-50 between the village and the city. So you can see the west side of the site's in the village of Sherwood Hills, about 7,200 plus or minus square feet of actual footprint space, and a similar amount on the east side of the building in the city of Madison. So what we're doing is we're going to modify the master plan, which was approved by the city of Madison, but in that whole process, we're actually meeting with the village simultaneously here to bring them along at touch points that make sense so that their comments don't contradict potentially with city comments and whatnot. So we're trying to put both these entities together as we move through this process. And then the remainder of these slides are what you would see in the agenda. So in order to do this amendment, we essentially proposed to the city all the items within the current plan that would change. So I'm going to show you the red line version. And if this is then approved, we then make those changes and actually take out pages and put in the new ones. So what we're doing is we're upping the total gross square footage in this area of campus by about 52,000, 54,000 gross square feet. It's a three-story building. The building itself meets all of the zoning guidelines that are in the plan now, as far as step backs and setbacks in mass and bulk and things like that. So there's no changes to those. It's just that the actual bubble itself was not shown at all in 2015. There's some modifications to some of the verbiage, essentially clarifying. Oops, sorry. I wonder if I could zoom in a little bit. I could show you exactly. So it was pretty specific back in 2015 that there's two expansion opportunities that remain within Highland Ave Ring Road. It was Wimmer 3 and a reservation space for a hospital module noted as W04A. That W04A is actually the D2 module, which is under construction now, nearing completion at the hospital. And Wimmer 3 has not come before us yet, but this is the Wimmer East Wedge Cyclotron project, which is what this amendment is specific to, is why the language is being revised here. So it's just essentially saying that it's getting rid of that, two expansion opportunities. It's making it more general to allow this wedge development. And after essentially that, this wedge development in WIMR 3, there's very little other development that could happen from a space standpoint here. Couple other maps that need to be updated. We'll add a red bubble in there. We'll update the midterm improvements with the proper gross square footage of this parcel or of this plan project. It will be update the phasing. We're hitting the phase two, 23 to 29 development timeline. And then it'd be a proposed, we've just sort of been tracking along all the proposed project plans. So this will be another one added to that. And then in the campus design guidelines, which are specific to the design review board and sort of how they review our projects, what they review them against, it fits currently with the massing and scale of the what this is the campus, sorry, the health sciences neighborhood is the neighborhood that we are in campus. So it meets the massing and scale, the landscape principles. We're addressing the stormwater component with this project. But other than that, it's taking out essentially hardscape and bike parking so to develop the space. So the water is actually cleaner, surprising. Roof water is cleaner than not roof water. And then from a landscape guidelines perspective, essentially campus fabric. So there'll be a minimal landscape area along Highland Ave that we landscaped in keeping with the rest of the hospital campus. And then the general schedule of where we're tracking, and you can see where we're interfacing both with the village and the city. So we are here tonight on December 11th, looking for a master plan amendment recommendation only. We'll be going to DRB next week, our design review board. And then we'll be doing the Common Council as planned on January 12th. We'll actually be coming back to this committee for the architecture and are hopefully getting a recommendation, which will be contingent on Common Council approving this amendment. So from a logistics standpoint, the council approves the amendment, and then therefore the design review board can amend the box going into the amendment, correct? So but to stay on pace with the because this project has had some fits and starts with NIH grant funding and cyclotron procurement, we would like to ask at that January 22nd meeting of Joint Campus to make a recommendation that would be contingent on the amendment being approved by the Common Council. That may be confusing. Feel free to ask questions when we get to that point. And then you can see we're sort of finishing up here with meeting with the village and design review board again, and then final with the village board. So that's sort of it at the end of February, mid-February. That's the plan. So we can hopefully hit a bid date of early fall 2026. But again, we're not talking about the project. We're talking about the amendment tonight. So I will stop talking, open it up to the committee, and back to you, Chair, for questions on the amendment.
Thanks, Aaron. Any questions?
I was not that good.
Yeah, no. On the map you showed, I was giving other people chances here. On the map you showed, there's a
Which one?
dismal red that you pointed to. That's outside the cyclotron purview.
Which map?
That one.
This one?
Yeah, so you have an arrow to some other property there. Is that the same cycle? Oh, I see.
Oh, sorry. No,
Right.
I was. Yeah, we were highlighting the West Campus gross square footage
Got it.
here, and then this was. Yeah. Yep. Nope.
So it's
Thank you.
just a cyclotron.
Just the cycle. Yeah, it's
Okay.
just the what we're calling the east wedge. So
Got
between
it.
towers one and two of Wimmer.
Okay. Thank you. Just that little bubble kind of took off a corner of something else. So,
Yeah, sorry. I should
no,
be able
that's
to.
fine. I just want to be clear.
We'll use that
Any other?
graphic.
Thank you. Any other questions from folks? Not seeing any. Is someone ready to make a potential recommendation to the Plan Commission? So that would be a motion. Regina.
Move to approve the university's recommendation.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Thanks, John. Further discussion? Seeing none. Any opposition to the motion? Any abstentions? Not seeing any. The motion passes. Thanks, folks.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Chair. Thanks, committee.
You bet. Oh, okay. Discussion items. I kind of jumped the gun here. The statement of interest forms that Ben's got on the agenda. I don't know if you want to speak to that, Ben, or.
No, just a reminder for city appointees to fill those out before I think January 6th, I believe, is the deadline.
Thank you. Legistar 51256, University Update Projects. So this is if you have any questions regarding the table that was sent along, this is your chance to ask. Seeing none. Okay. UW Health Projects, Registrar 66581, the C2 module edition.
Give you the same report I gave last week or last month or 2 months ago, rather. It's proceeding well, and the C2 module expansion is proceeding well. We really don't have any other updates. I didn't provide pictures this time, so hopefully next time I'll have pictures that you can look at.
Great. Thank you, Matt. Any questions of Matt? Okay, Legistars 51257, City of Madison project updates.
We can maybe take the same approach as the UW project updates. Happy to answer any questions to the extent I ha can on any of the things listed on the agenda under city updates.
Any questions? Regina.
Sorry, it just looks like what's in Legistar is really old. So I'm just wondering if it's the correct link.
Yes, we have a Legistar number associated with it that was kind of created at when Joint Campus Area Committee was created. We generally haven't posted project files to that Legistar number because they're posted to other Legistar numbers that are referred to in the list of items.
Any other questions regarding project updates from the city? Whoa, we're going to beat this up by an hour here. So our next meeting is going to be January 22 of 26, virtual. And motion to adjourn is in order.
Motion.
Thank you, Doug. Is there a second?
Second.
Thanks, Regina. All those in favor say aye.
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 Okay. Any abstentions or objections? I'm guessing not. Happy holidays, everyone, and thank you for all your work this evening and throughout the year. And stay warm. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, Christy, too.